The Octavo Singers of Schenectady have been a choral tradition in the Capital Region since 1933. This Sunday, November 19th, they'll present their fall concert at Immaculate Conception Church in Glenville, New York. The concert will present performances of two masses, one by Beethoven and one by Johann Hummel.
Hummel, yep.
And is it Nepomuk?
Nepomuk, yep.
Nepomuk. Hummel. Also on the program, we will be the popular Haydn Concerto for Trumpet in E-flat major, featuring local trumpeter extraordinaire Kathy Sheridan. On December 9th, the October Singers will perform Handel's Messiah at Union College Memorial Chapel in Schenectady, New York, because audiences love it, and as a choral group, you're almost mandated to do it, right? You have to do it. If you're a ballet, you got to do Nutcracker. You have to do Handel's Messiah. Okay. Curtis Funk has been artistic director of the Octavo Singers since 2011. He joins us this morning, and we are thrilled to have him here. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Very good. I'm just going to, can you just tilt that mic up just a little bit?
How's that?
Good. Yes, I think it lost some of its flexibility there, so thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right. So, how did this particular program come about? Tell us about, well, we'll start with the trumpet concerto. That's because that seems very exciting.
Oh, sure. You know, when I do my concerts, I like to do an instrumental piece beforehand if one of the vocal pieces is a little shorter than the other. So this worked out perfectly because the Hummel's just a little bit shorter than the Beethoven Mass. I've known Kathy for quite some time. She's just an amazing trumpet player, and this is such a fun piece of music. It's the first trumpet concerto written for trumpets that had valves.
Oh, really?
Yep. Prior to this piece, every piece was written for what's called a natural trumpet, which is, for all intents and purposes, just a piece of garden hose with a funnel stuck in the end. It's just a tube. A guy named Weidinger took his natural trumpet, poked some holes in it, and then put keys on it, the same that you would have like on a flute. And he was friends with Haydn, and he showed it to Haydn and played it for him. And what it enabled him to do is, prior to this, all the pieces written for trumpet had to be written way in the upper register of the trumpet because they needed to take advantage of the harmonic series up there to get the different notes. This allowed a trumpet player to play in the lower and mid register, and Haydn took full advantage of that. And when he wrote this concerto, you're going to hear a lot of passages that use the real breathy, throaty parts of the trumpet, and Kathy's just amazing in that register.
That's terrific. So it'll be quite an event. Talk about the other works on the program.
Yeah, the other two are masses, and I was real excited to roll out the Hummel Mass because not a lot of people know about Johann Hummel, and for all intents and purposes, he was probably the second most popular composer during his time, during what they call the late Viennese classical period. He was, dwarfed by Beethoven. But he actually was the second most well-known composer. He was also a very prolific pianist, so a lot of his pieces were written for piano. This mass is just absolutely charming. He wrote it for the Esterházy court, it's classicism at its perfection. The lines are clean, the melodies are very listenable. And he does a lot with dynamics. It goes from loud to soft very often. So the piece is very listenable. The Beethoven is equally listenable, and it too was written for the Esterházy court, but the Esterházys didn't like it as much. And there's some speculation as to why they didn't like it. They're thinking that maybe Prince Esterházy just didn't understand it. It's consummate Beethoven with its stark contrasts and its Sturm und Drang and that type of thing. And perhaps he just didn't understand it. But after the first premiere of the Mass, Esterházy walked up to Beethoven and said, "My good man, what have you done?" And ironically, Hummel was in the room at the time and just started to laugh. And Beethoven was mortified, and he stormed off and didn't work for the Esterházys any longer. And Hummel ended up becoming the Kapellmeister. So there's actually a little bit of linkage between the two composers.
So artists were kind of always like that, right? Yeah.
They were definitely looking out for themselves. I mean, social right. graces was a secondary thought.
Yeah, know? Well, they wanted it the way they wanted it, right? I mean, they knew best of how it should sound. So in that vein, how do you feel that it sounds for your group and putting this all together?
It was a lot of fun to put together. The Beethoven is, in fact, your listeners just heard a snippet of it as we were leading in. It starts out just so childlike, and then it kind of explodes into the Gloria and the Credo, you know, the traditional parts of the Mass. Right. And that's where you really hear Beethoven come through. And it was just fun working with the choir, putting that together. And then to, at the same rehearsal, you know, take a break and then regroup, to go into the Hummel, which was so much more structured and a little cleaner. And the lines, you know, more predictable. So it was really kind of an alpha and omega kind of semester in terms of rehearsing these two pieces. That being said, they play off each other beautifully. It's a beautiful pairing. And so to toss in the Haydn on top of that, it's just going to be a really nice, well-rounded concert.
Octavo Singers of Schenectady at Glenville and at the Immaculate Conception Church on Sunday, November 19th, and the time of the Mass?
3 p.m.
3 p.m. Mm-hmm. 3 p.m. on this Sunday at Immaculate Conception Church in Glenville. And then, as we mentioned, also you'll be doing the Handel's Messiah at Union College Memorial Chapel in Schenectady. I can't think of a more beautiful work, but I can't think of a more beautiful setting either.
Oh, it's perfect space. It really is. It's close to as acoustically perfect as you can get. And my group is pretty big. It's for Messiah, I have 125 singers and 20 musicians, and they really just fill that space out. It's also the first time in a long time that we're doing it on a Saturday night as opposed to a Sunday afternoon. So I'm anticipating possibly a slightly different audience as well. So we're excited for this one.
Excellent. Let's talk a little bit about the group itself. As sure. you mentioned, you've been there since 2011, but they've been around since 1933. What's the history of the group?
They started out with WPA funds, and we think they got enough money to buy separate sheet music, what's called octavo sheet music. Octavas is a musical term for how you fold the paper to make a single piece of sheet music. And so we think that a group of people got together, bought some octavos, and sang. The money ran out, and people decided to continue meeting anyhow. And they were working with a man named Gordon Mason. And he was the conductor up through 1970, and then a gentleman named George Morose took over. And George conducted till 2010 when I took over. And so I'm only the third conductor in this 85-year history of the group.
So that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really is incredible when you think of it. So what kind of pressure does that put on you then? I mean, obviously you've been doing it for a while now, but
yeah, technically, if I want to, you know, continue in their footsteps, I have to conduct till I'm 96. So
there you go. Well, it's good.
It's aerobic,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, that says a lot about our community. It says a lot about the people who want to perform this type of music.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of vocal ensembles in this area. And I attribute it some to the fact that, you know, we've got 13 colleges in this area within an hour of each other. And I think people just have sort of an expectation that there's going to be a cultural precedence here. And audiences and singers alike can get their needs met very easily here in the Capital District.
Is it so? When you say that, especially with the colleges, do you find your participants of the actual singers and performers that age is also very wide ranging?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I first took over, my group was a little older. The demographics have actually shifted a little bit. And I think a lot of it is, you know, the students come up, they fall in love with the area, and they stick around rather than, you know, going back. And they're looking for a cultural outlet. And so you've got my group in Schenectady, you've got Albany Pro Musica in Albany. You've got the Bat and Kill Chorus, so, you know, across the river. There's just all sorts of opportunities for people who, you know, want to perform. And, you know, with my group, you don't have to have a strong musical background. If you read music, that's going to be an asset. But if you come in and you just love music, that's pretty much prerequisite enough. I can sit you next to somebody who can actually, you know, help accelerate the learning curve if you don't have a strong, you know, formal music background.
In the, I assume there's a lot of you mentioned there being many vocal ensembles in this in this area. Is there a lot of crossover, the people that do, you know, sing for one, sing for the other, that kind of thing?
Yeah, a fair amount. I would say out of my 100 people, probably 10 to 12 are in some other ensemble. And that actually gets to be kind of a negotiating thing. The conductors really have to get together and figure out when their dates are, where their venues are, what their literature is going to be, so you don't have too much you know, cross-pollination. You don't want your singers to have to flip a coin as to which group they're going to perform
with. And but the fact that we as a region can sustain that is pretty impressive, isn't
Absolutely.
it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good kind of problem to have. You know, I'd rather have that kind of problem than just to have a lack of people wanting to sing.
So you have this event on Sunday. You have the Messiah coming up on December 9th. And then beyond that, your season goes into the spring?
It does. April 21st, we're actually teaming up with the Capital District Youth Chorale, and we're going to sing at Proctor's. We're going to do John Rutter's Mass of the Children, as well as the Poulenc Gloria and the Fauvet Requiem. And that's real exciting. This will be the first time that Octavos have been on the stage at Proctor's. So I'm really looking forward to singing in that venue.
A group in Schenectady, the first time you've been at Proctor's?
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Congratulations. What the hell took them so long?
Maiden voyage.
All right. Well, the Octavos Singers present Mass Appeal this Sunday at Immaculate Conception Church in Glenville, New York. To learn more, visit octavosingers.com. That's O-C-T-A-V-O singers.com. Also, they will be performing Handel's Messiah on December 9th at Union College Memorial Chapel in Schenectady, New York. Again, you can learn more by going to octavosingers.com. That link will also be posted along with this interview at wamc.org. Curtis Funk is the artistic director of the Octavo Singers. He is one of our favorites here on the program, and it's always very nice to spend time with you, and I thank you very much. Have a beautiful holiday season, and thank you for the wonderful work you're doing in our community.
Oh, thanks so much. I love being here.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.